Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Let us pray. Lord our God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us. Let us hear your promise in this scripture and let the world know your blessing in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, found on page 12 of the Old Testament in your pew Bibles, or it's on the screen. And if you'd read with me. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarah and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land.
Our scripture lesson picks up right at the very end of the scripture reading. You notice that the scripture reading ended on this sort of ominous note with the Canaanites still in the land that Abram had been promised. And so the story continues. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. Before I ask the session to present a child for baptism, I meet with the parents of that child and talk about what baptism is and why we do baptism in the way that we do, because we take this particular action on the part of the congregation, on the part of the session, on the part of the church. We take this really seriously. We care about what happens here. Now, the most important thing that happens right here at this now very wet baptismal font, is that this baptism is a sign of something God has already done. So we, the congregation and the family, make promises, but ultimately, God is the faithful one. God is the one who ultimately is able to keep the promises that we make. This is ultimately built on God's promises. And that means at least three particular things. The first thing it means is that what happens here in baptism is nothing magical. There's nothing particular about this particular action that creates something new in God's reality. But God is faithful to us whether we've done this particular ritual with the little wet head or not. Because the ritual doesn't change something. Rather, the ritual is a seal of authenticity. It's like God's signature on the promises that God has made to us. And the other thing that it means is that there's just one God, which means there's just one promise, which means that there's just one baptism. And that means that if you are baptized, but you were baptized somewhere else, not here at Covenant, if you were baptized in some other tradition, not in a Presbyterian tradition, your baptism still counts because it's God's promise before it is this particular Presbyterian flavor of being God's promise. And the third thing that it means is that because God is faithful, our promise, the promise that we just made and enacted here in worship today, goes all the way back to the beginning of God's promises. It goes all the way back to this covenant with Abram that we just read about in the scripture reading. This promise that Abram and his descendants, whether physical or spiritual, those descendants are going to be a blessing for the whole world, a blessing for all generations in the world. And that's why, at least in our Presbyterian tradition, we baptize children not because they are able to say, yes, I understand and agree with everything that's about to happen to me, but rather we baptize because the parents intend that their children belong to this covenant. Because we recognize that in Abram, in that story from way, way back, God claims all of us before any of us could know it, before any of us could recognize what that claim means. In our case, God claims us into that same promise God made to Abram. God claims us through Jesus, who, if you read his story, he kind of lives out all over again Abram and Sarai's story. He also leaves the place that he called home in order to become a blessing for all people. Do you see that? So we follow Jesus in that same story. We follow Abram in that same story. We go from what's familiar out into being a blessing for all the world. So let's look just a little bit more closely at this story as Abram and Sarai live it. In Abram and Sarai's day, people lived with their extended family. Your extended family was the particularly reckoned along your male ancestry, your extended family was the most important piece of your identity. The generations lived together so that they could care for each other, provide for each other. And then as you branched out beyond that, you would get to tribes and ethnic groups that provided support beyond that. But all of your support, all of your care, all of your provision happened by way of those relationship networks. So Abram and Sarai lived with Abram's father and Abram's nephew, because Abram's nephew was also descended from that same, his grandfather, Abram's father. And they're all living together there in Haran, and then one day God interrupts. One day, God interrupts. We don't know exactly how. Maybe it was some strange voice. Maybe the clouds parted and Abram could see something. Maybe he just had this intuition that he couldn't shake. Or maybe Sarai offered a wise, challenging word that finally Abram listened to. But one way or another, God spoke to Abram and said, hey, it's time to go. It's time to get up and leave everything that you knew, everything that was familiar. Leave your kinship group, leave your ethnic group, leave your father's household, and go move through the world without any support. This story of leaving everything that's familiar and safe and supportive and moving through the world without the support of home, this is actually part of why Abram's spiritual descendants are always careful to receive immigrants, refugees, and strangers because, and the Bible says this over and over again, in this story, in Abram's story, we have been there. We've been in the place of the stranger, and so we welcome strangers. Abram and Sarai are moving through the world without any support. They have no support except for God. God who leads them on into this extended promise, into something that they can't anticipate, into a new home that's promised to them, not for them, but for the generations that will follow them. Abram and Sarai never receive this promise. We walked with them in this story down into that land that they had been promised, but then they passed right on through that land and went down into the desert. Eventually, they'll go into Egypt, where Abram's descendants will be enslaved later on. They live this story backwards, it seems, that it all happens out of order. The promise of a place leads Abram and Sarai to be always on the move. This doesn't flow the way that we would logically anticipate this story would flow, but it turns out that this story is flowing ultimately into God's blessing. God leads us into places that we can never anticipate. And when we baptize someone, we welcome them into that story, a story of being led out beyond what is familiar, led out beyond what even seems safe or reasonable, and led out into a story that is completely uncertain and strange and hard to find our way through, but that ultimately leads into blessing. And so with God's seal on our lives, we know that God leads us where we don't know that we can even go. God's story may lead us to the shore of a lake where we have a powerful experience of God's presence as we sit there at camp. God's call might lead us to El Salvador for a transformative relationship with our neighbors in Christ. God's call might lead us into deep silence in prayer, to that place where God alone speaks to us. God's call might lead us to a hospital bedside where fear and uncertainty call forth for hope. Or it might lead us across the cafeteria to sit with a classmate who just needs someone to be there with them. I keep saying might. God's baptism has led me all of those places and more, and your baptism has probably led you to many of the same places. And now Liam and London are invited to go there as well. This baptism is a promise. This baptism is a promise not that anything at all is going to be certain, except for God's love and God's call forward into lives of service and blessing for God's people. The promise is that because of God's love, we are called to be a blessing for all the world. God's promise leads us to serve in solidarity with our neighbors around the world and our neighbors across town. God's promise leads us to sacrifice ourselves to care for someone in the next pew, even, simply because God's promise is for them as well. God's promise leads us to grow deeper in God's love, in prayer, in worship, in study, in lifting one another, to live deeper in covenant community as part of the church for the sake of this world God loves. So we have sealed two beloved children in God's promise today. I can't teach them how to anticipate everything that that promise means, but thanks be for everything this promise might and will mean. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Today's moment for mission is about Socios de Cristo and self-development of people, which are mission causes we will support at the Mission Festival.
So we were going to talk about Socios de Cristo and self-development of people, but you know a lot about Socios de Cristo. That's our partnership with the Canton of San Isidro in El Salvador. But really briefly, because this kind of sets up self-development of people, Socios de Cristo is a partnership where the people of San Isidro are able to develop their community and meet their needs in partnership with Covenant. And when they have specific needs that arise, specific development projects that they need capital for, they send us a solicitude, and we respond to that as best we can. But notice the initiative comes from El Salvador, and we are simply partners with that initiative. That is actually very similar to how self-development of people works. You're less familiar with that, so here it is. The Presbyterian Committee on Self-Development of People is a ministry that affirms God's concern for humankind. We are Presbyterians and ecumenical partners, dissatisfied with poverty and oppression, united in faith and action through sharing, confronting, and enabling by participating in the empowerment of economically poor, oppressed, and disadvantaged people, seeking to change the structures that perpetuate poverty, oppression, and injustice. SDOP, that's self-development of people, SDOP works to promote justice, to build stronger communities, and to seek economic equity. We are about families, communities, and the transformation of lives that take place in them. Our slogan, People Investing in People, connects directly to our rich history that is firmly rooted in justice for those who are oppressed by poverty and social systems that prevent them from living lives of self-determination. Tackling a difficult and often challenging range of issues such as poverty, mass incarceration, immigration, labor and worker rights, justice for women, earth care and sustainability, we provide tangible and viable ways that the church can partner with communities as they engage in addressing these issues together. Self-development of people provides grants to fund projects that address long-term correction of conditions that keep people bound by poverty and oppression. Each project is presented, owned, and controlled by the group of economically poor people who will benefit directly from it. So you can see, a lot like our sister relationship with San Ysidro, SDOP invests in economically poor people so that they can lift themselves through economic and community development. Self-development of people is one of the mission causes that we are supporting at our mission festival in 13 days.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.